Every morning, my deep reflection, my moment of looking into my inner space, is suddenly abruptly interrupted by this music.
Abruptly.
I'm just sitting there deep. That's at the end of the show. Just contemplating.
I'm usually like, oh yeah, I did leave the gas on the oven.
Did I dream I was a butterfly, or was I a butterfly who dreamed I was a man?
Okay, Shang-Chi.
And then suddenly, and we gotta go. And what you're hearing with that blah, 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 blah is a brave and beautiful inevitable concept called the Chattanooga Drive-In Show. Thank you very much. Daily podcast, entertaining information, informative entertainment. We do it unlike anybody else. I don't think anybody can argue with that.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't do it like anybody else. The goal is to replace your morning radio show and your morning TV show so you can basically just plug in the podcast from whatever podcast platform launching place you get your good podcast from and get all the information you need in about an hour, hour and 15 minutes as opposed to four long, drawn-out, boring hours.
Jeff.
We're going to do a little flashback, too, to media. Not a little one, actually a pretty major one a little bit later on today. Welcome to this edition. It's Wednesday morning, Chattanooga Drive-In Show. The entire crew is here, and we've got to get ready for the fact that you're going to be gone.
Sorry, I tried to think of ways that I could make it not be stressful for you guys, but I know there's no way, especially you, Jeff.
I have a plan B, but I have done very poorly about following up on it. So we'll just see how it goes. Here in the Lodge Cast Iron Studio, the weather has changed, and so have I. My mood is absolutely so much better. It's that every year it's this way, but I mean, I think I sent y'all that picture of just that foggy field. That was a terrible picture of that field. The sun flared up on it. But I mean, on the way in, just absolutely gorgeous. I get off the mountain into the valley, and it is, what'd you say? It looked like Silent Hill.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite games.
I couldn't make out. Yeah, the car's barely around me. I mean, every once in a while, the fog gets so thick, you're thinking, now where am I? Am I still on 153 or wherever I am out there?
Oh, but it's even worse down in the valley. You know, I live in Rossville, and I work in, well, when I'm not working here, I work in East Ridge, and so driving through 41, it's just like this thick wall of fog you're going through, and you got to have your windshield wipers on. It's crazy.
I went up to the bluff yesterday, and a bunch of folks were flying, and I tried to get Rebecca to come up and just said, even though her knee's no good, we could get her out there. And she said, I don't want to be cold. I went, it's not good. The sun is shining. It's fall. And I was there 10 minutes, and I texted her. I said, you made the right decision. The wind is howling. It's chilly up here.
Yeah.
So what do we say to visitors in our area and the Chattanooga greater metro area, to the folks who might want to come visit and do a little leaf peeping?
Sea Rock City?
You autumn, come on in.
Oh, jeez.
You autumn, come on in. I'm just giving that one away. $1 million idea.
I think you should keep that one away.
Convention Visitors Bureau. Just you know, just throw some at the Kickstarter campaign.
This is how we'll make our money, is Jeff's terrible catchphrase.
Y'all autumn, come on in. All right.
We had somebody comment that our catchphrase should be Heart of the Sunrise.
Oh, well, that's the name of the tune that we listen to.
Maybe for you guys. I like to think I'm the heart of the sunset.
Did you know that? I did not know
that.
That
is the name of that actual song.
There you go.
It's Heart of the Sunrise. So, well, somebody was being very astute, and the country needs more stoots. This nation has been lacking stoots for some time now.
Ah, jeez.
And we have one of the most stutistest people I know with us. And his name is Russell Stroud, Russell the Love Muscle.
Oh, you're too kind.
And with Pimp Jen Lambert and Brian Stone, and we're getting ready to go. And as we usually get ready to go, the very first thing I do is I say, hey, Russell, what's happening?
Well, Jeff, The Chattanooga police are investigating a shooting which took place, it happened Monday night on Emmacate Drive. The female victim reportedly in the hospital in life-threatening condition. There's no word yet on an arrest or any suspect information. The Chattanooga police also announced the arrest of Ja'Cory Forte, who's accused of taking part in an armed robbery on Glenfield Lane. It happened at a dollar store. The clerk was preparing his lunch when a man pulled a gun and demanded the money in the cash register. He then made off with over $1,500 from said cash register. Investigators say that Mr. Forte was not the gunman, but instead a lookout. Officers spotted a vehicle matching the description of the getaway car. They gave chase, and it crashed. The vehicle was reportedly stolen out of Florida. Forte, allegedly the driver. And lastly, the city's CFO is set to retire after almost 20 years as chief financial officer. Daisy Madison set to retire. She served the city for almost 30 years total, first being hired by Mayor Gene Roberts back in 1992. She worked to raise the city's bond rating to increase transparency within the city's finances. Ms. Madison will be succeeded by Brent Goldberg, who currently serves as the mayor's chief of staff. Chief Policy Officer Joda Thongnopnua will serve as the interim chief of staff. And now, from an AT&T lineman's handset, it's On the Hook with Dave Hooker.
Don't throw stuff. Dave Hooker, Off the Hook Sports. University of Tennessee, as you've heard by now, fined $250,000 for the incident that occurred in Saturday night's Ole Miss game. Of course, Lane Kiffin was part of that. It seems like he's always part of something that involves some sort of controversy, and he's enjoying it. He's tweeting left and right about the event. Just gives him more publicity. Tennessee, of course, ended up losing the game, but had time to come back and win before fans pelted the field. Now, you might be a little surprised by the fact that the game was halted because fans threw things. That's because it's pretty much unprecedented. It's happened occasionally in a basketball game, especially in the SEC, but football games. And for those that tell me it was just the student section or it was just a few dozen people, you've got to be kidding yourself. Just Google images and you will find hundreds upon hundreds of bottles and even the golf ball that that Lane Kiffin caught and put in his pocket. So, don't throw stuff is the moral of the story and the lesson for the day. $250,000, Tennessee can afford it, but pretty darn embarrassing for Tennessee football. I'm Dave Hooker, Off the Hook Sports.
Tell me not to throw stuff.
Brian Duck.
Tell me not to throw stuff. I might just go off today.
Wait till I finish this coffee. This cup is heading right for you.
The upfront wrap-up, where we take all the most important stories of the day and we put them up front so in case you're in a hurry, you can get them in a hurry and move on about your way. If you're feeling an extra little bit of cockiness today.
I actually have something that Dave missed.
Oh.
Yeah, about that story.
What is it?
Southeastern Conference is officially fining the University of Tennessee $250,000.
No, he said that.
He didn't miss that. I'm just reiterating. Oops. I was distracted by Jeff's pugilism.
Every yogi has to have his boo-boo. And if the extra cockiness is apparent today, it's because I finally brought in the print of Cool Hand Luke. Thank you very much. Behind us, also with the cool logo, that Jen designed the Chattanooga Drive-In Show logo here. So now the Lodgecast Turn Studio has been beautified even more with the famous poker scene from Cool Hand Luke. Thank you very much.
And I'm the proud owner of a stack of Maxim magazines now. Thanks.
Yeah, I got rid of a bunch of clothes, and that's going to come into play. I got rid of a bunch of clothes and a ton of magazines yesterday. The just poundage that clothes and magazines, it's amazing how much they weigh.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing how much they weigh.
Well, if you got any Soldier of Fortunes, let me know.
So, yeah, we got the Mad on top here, and after that, it's all Maxim.
Wow.
It's Maxim's all the way down, son.
No Jillian Anderson, unfortunately, it'll do.
Get rid of those. All right. All right, so the upfront wrap-up brought to you by Tennessee American Water Company. Been providing quality water to our community since 1887. That's a long time for that faucet to be on. At the end of every pipe, they know there's a family counting on them to provide clean, safe, reliable water for their health and comfort each and every day. That's why at Tennessee American Water, they take pride in keeping your lives flowing right. Thank you very, very, very much. All right, big stories.
This is a good one.
Look what you've started.
there will be lots of visuals today, by the way. For those of you who just listen every once in a while, you might want to break away and actually go, look, there's going to be some visuals today I'm going to rely on here in just a little bit. The biggest stories, things that we have already talked about are things that are still kind of pending on this day. Actually, I'm going to stick with sports just for a second. Since we didn't talk about Monday Night Football yesterday, I do want to just ask Brian real quickly. I mean, that was a game. Who was even favored in that game? It was a toss-up, wasn't it?
You know, I don't know. I'm not much into the gambling world. I would guess that the Bills were probably favored by one or two.
Yeah, just one or two. Derrick Henry, my God, what a monstrosity he is! That goal line stand is that should go down in history.
That was another Titans game where you get into the third quarter and you look up and you say,
"How the hell are we winning this game right now?"
But yes, they'll probably blow it.
Yeah.
And I was in back-to-back or many, not just back-to-back, many text threads during the end of the game. Of course, the Bills were stopped on the one-yard line for the Titans to win that game. And there was all the argument of the Titans had three timeouts, and they didn't take any of them. A lot of the strategy would be take the timeouts, make them score to a certain degree so you have time to get the ball back. And Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the Titans, said, forget that. We're just going to let the clock bleed. And sometimes you got to win with your defense, even though the Titans' defense isn't very good.
And it got down to the last second.
I loved it. In real time, I loved it. I thought, this is different. This is not how this – it's just like, screw it. It's week six. If you lose, the season's not over.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Most people disagreed with me, but it worked out. So, man, it was wild, though.
Goal line stands coming up later on today when we get to the what are you doing segment. You'll be somewhat interested in this, maybe, possibly. I don't know. All right. Russell, I'll go to you on this one. You talked about the Haiti kidnappings yesterday, and this is very serious stuff. And we're talking about, you know, priests and nuns, and this group has been known for doing this for some time. Mm-hmm. And the name of the gang, the 400 Mwozo gang, do you know what that translates to?
If I remember right, it was inexperienced men.
The 400 inexperienced men.
Yeah.
Now, who came up with that?
Maybe it means like they're not college educated, they're day laborers, maybe. That kind of thing.
I just think that, I mean, this is a very serious topic in Haiti. Is if there is a more unsafe, unsanitary, unsound, just hellish place on the planet right now than Haiti, I don't know where it is.
Well, their prime minister was just assassinated.
How it could possibly be much worse, but it's getting worse. But boy, they need some help in their marketing.
Yeah.
400 inexperienced men. I'm just not calling them. I'm not going to Yellow Pages. I'm not going to Craigslist.
I don't want you to call them.
Yeah.
They'll come to you.
Those poor kids.
How much do you want to bet that these kids are liberated and these 400 men are massacred?
Well, that would be the hope, of course. But
I have a feeling this is going to happen. This will not stand.
I get the feeling that because there are Americans and Canadians involved, that you'll see U.S. forces involved in the rescue operation pretty quickly.
These are not cartel members.
No, I'm thinking based on precedent. So Somali pirates kidnapped some, I think they were USGS or some organization researchers. Off the coast of Somalia. They were taken to Somalia and held captive for ransom. And it was a FBI hostage rescue team operator, and I think two or three Delta operators who were sent in to rescue them. So that's probably the scenario you're going to see. If there are actually 400 of them, or if that's just a name they use to inflate their number, which is most likely, there's probably a few dozen. Then you're probably going to see a larger number of forces inbound. They're going to have to get the permission of the Haitian government before they do that, or they may not bother and do it anyway.
I don't even know why they use the numbers. Every time I've ever been to a gathering of the 100 black men, they've always been about 20 short. And, I mean, you know, we talked about the 700 Club. I was watching that one day, and it didn't look like there was 120 people out there.
No, there's just Pat Robertson. This is ridiculous.
All right, the verdict is in. It was indeed, you know, and all the container ships are saying, it wasn't me. Yes, it was. It was, the Coast Guard has determined, it was actually a long time ago, too. It was back in August that the Panama-registered Muskdonit dragged its big old anchor during some very high seas across the Southern California coastline bottom and raked up that pipeline and rearranged it and coagulated it. And actually, the crude did not start to spill until later, but it was actually back in early August when the damage was done. So now we know who is not going to be paying. They're supposed to be paying, but they won't. They'll get out of it, of course. Here in Tennessee, here comes the special session. You wanted a special session? Here comes you one.
It's special, all right.
And it's all got, you know, it's just about mandates, mandates imposed, mandates, employer-imposed mandates, and that's what they're going to be talking about. Nobody wanted to talk about it until Ford came into town.
Well, keep in mind, too, now, of course, I'm not going to deny the financial motivation behind it. Obviously, that's there. But I will say it's worth examining simply because of the legal aspect of it, right? Like, it has to be determined, is a mandate actually legal under Tennessee state statute, under the Tennessee Constitution? That's worth examining. No matter what one's feelings are about a mandate, it has to be determined if it's legal before you actually enforce one.
Well, the folks behind this one, the ones that are really doing the pushing, want to model it after Montana. I want y'all to think real hard. How often have you heard an advanced progressive state say, let's copy what Montana did?
Well, Montana has the benefit of a population of two.
Yeah, I was going to say, I love Montana. Don't get me wrong. That's it. They don't do a lot of legislating. They sit on their hands up there.
It's nice. Because
it's cold.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, but this, essentially, we've got this guy, Frank Nicely, out of Strawberry Plains, a fine town, who says, I like what Montana did. It's simple. It just says simply, nobody in the state can discriminate based on their vaccine status. Pretty simple, not complicated. So not a lot of legalese. You know that they'll mess it up.
Yeah.
But that's just what it's going to boil down to. It's just going to be an anti-discrimination, you know, bill when it's all said and done.
Well, and this could have some advantages for the vaccinated as well. You can't have a business that's going to fire people for getting vaccinated, which we've actually seen a couple of times as well.
So we have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a couple businesses. Oh, it was during the early days. It would have been May, I think. And there were a couple of businesses, if I recall correctly, in the Knoxville area who fired someone who was like a daycare worker for getting vaccinated, if I recall correctly.
Okay. It's been so long.
No, I don't get it either.
I can't begin to understand that.
I don't agree with it. I'm just saying that I recall that happening.
Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott, of course, signed the executive order banning any entity in Texas, including private businesses, from requiring vaccinations for employees or customers. And so they're working with Texas too. And now let's drop down to, as long as we kind of stick with the legalese thing here for just a second, the lawsuit that goes after white supremacists. You know, the Klan was put out of business just like Al Capone was put out of business.
Texas.
Not because they murdered people, not because they strong-armed people, not because they were racketeers, not because they were thugs and criminals, because they got them on taxes. And that's the way the Klan, for all practical purposes, no longer exists as it did before.
Yeah, thank
and
goodness.
Now the newest organization is this Richard Spencer's group. What are they called? Dag Nabbit.
Oh, man.
It's not Aryan Nations, not Daily Stormer. It's whatever. Unite the Right.
Unite the Right. Well, that was sort of a conglomeration, yeah.
Yeah, 2017. They're the ones that had the big gathering up in Charlottesville.
And that's where that woman was
killed.
That
ended up like the Tennessee game, you know, with everybody throwing everything.
Well, someone died, so it was a bit more.
Yeah, and it ran their cars into people. And the suit has already helped to dismantle most of these organizations I've mentioned. Richard Spencer, here's a quote, "It's very stressful and very costly." Yeah, feel real bad for him.
He's a poor guy.
He says his organization is an alt-right organization.
Whatever that means.
And says this level of pressure is definitely scary. Lawsuits have long been used to dismantle or bankrupt the engines of hate in the United States. And here is Amy Spitalnik. She's a civil lawsuit worker. We know that these things work in holding accountable extremists by going after their finances and their operations. All right. That has been true for decades. But even when those groups have been crippled, white supremacists have adapted, going underground and surfaced with new organizations and leaders. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Spencer is none too happy with his current situation. And the last story I have is out of London, and it's just the sad story about the British lawmaker that was stabbed to death there.
Oh, that was horrible, yeah.
Yeah, a 69-year-old conservative guy who didn't, he wasn't even particularly controversial. He was kind of just one of those, you know, members of parliament wander around town and people don't even recognize them.
Yeah, it's not like Congress.
They don't treat him, you know, like congressmen here. And a guy who I believe was of Somali heritage apparently disliked one of the bills that was in front of parliament and just went and stabbed this guy.
Because that'll fix it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that'll definitely fix it. And his dad was a longtime police officer, and people are in mourning there. So your upfront wrap-up, thank you very much.
And this is what they swore. We all knew how to play. We understood the deal. We do it every day.
All right.
And this is how we
all right. Chattanooga Drive-In Show. This is the Everybody's Got One segment, which is pretty much the editorial segment. Nothing serious. I'm going to have some fun with it, and you guys are going to join in.
Okay.
Let me just go ahead and get this in here. All of our podcasts are featured on all the platforms. If they're not on there one day, it's because there's been some strange stipulation. I think there's somebody that's in charge of every single one of these, Apples and Spotify's and Pocket Casts, everybody, and it's their job every day to come up with a new rule that will throw people off. And it just constantly has to keep our social media people on their toes. And that's our social media people is her.
Yeah.
So we appreciate doing when you do what you're doing every day. Weekday mornings, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. We're up here. But anyway, you will find us on all those things. All right, here we go. This is the editorial of the day. The new Bond movie is out.
Oh.
The simple one is, who was your favorite Bond?
The guy.
Sean Connery.
No.
Daniel Craig.
No, License to Kill. What was his name?
Timothy Dalton.
Yes, thank you.
Why, you liked Timothy Dalton?
I love Timothy Dalton.
What was the first interesting one? What was his name? Not Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
No,
Roger Moore.
Roger Moore.
There was George Lazenby in between.
I started with Roger Moore.
George Lazenby was better than people gave him credit for.
He was very good.
He only got one movie, and he didn't do poorly. And he married Emma Peel.
I think Daniel Craig is good.
I think, all right, but that's not what we're talking about.
They're all good. There's not really been a bad Bond, I can think of.
Because this one, I mean, this is the franchise of all franchises.
Brosnan was a bad Bond.
He was
a
bad
Bond. I was just about to say, he was my favorite Bond.
He was a bad Bond.
It's the only Bond I've seen.
I've not
seen a single other James Bond.
Watch the Daniel Craig.
Here we go.
Yeah,
everybody,
too late.
If you're not a Bond fan, you're certainly familiar with the Bond themes as a franchise. It started that, usually. You know, movies just were movies, even if they were sequels or prequels. You know, they didn't necessarily have the musical theme.
Goldfinger.
It wasn't the first one, Dr. No, but it was Goldfinger, Shirley Bassey.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, and that's, who doesn't know that one? What a great voice.
Yeah.
Goldfinger, the man with the Midas touch. And I would say that would be the number one Bond theme.
Yeah.
But no.
It's not.
No, and actually,
what are the more current
I'm
ones?
Not going to argue. This is the
one
listing.
From Skyfall is freaking great.
Yeah,
That's
the one.
All right, there you go. That was Adele.
I was going to say, that was Adele.
And Skyfall was a great movie.
That's one of my favorites. Yeah.
That's the one you should watch, Brian.
Spoiler alert. There's a very important death in this one.
Every time Jeff says spoiler alert, why do you do that?
Every James Bond movie ends the same.
Well, this one doesn't.
No spoiler alert.
This one doesn't. So anyway, they've put these things together, and it's a bunch of entertainment writers, and they got a bunch of people from the Bond world to chime in on it and all this stuff.
Bond analysts.
24 Bond songs have accompanied the films. Some are memorably breathtaking, high Adele. Others, despite their pedigree, faltered spectacularly. Sorry, Madonna. So it goes in this order. They've actually got it.
View to a Kill was good.
Broken down. The exceptional, among the exceptional, and then they have the unremarkable.
Paul McCartney
among
was
the
good.
Exceptional, Tina Turner, GoldenEye, number 8.
Okay, good, yeah.
All right. The movie was Octopussy.
Yes.
Introducing Maude Adams. Interesting they got away with that. 1983, you can do it now. Rita Coolidge did the song. People don't remember that it was actually a Bond theme, All Time High. It was a super sappy song, but Rita Coolidge gets extra credit points. Here's something you didn't even know, Brian, I bet you. The classic Eric Clapton and Derek and the Dominoes song, Layla, the piano piece, the famous uncredited piano piece,
yes,
Rita Coolidge.
Did not know that.
So she gets extra credit points for that. Duran Duran. I liked Duran Duran as a band, but View to a Kill was terrible.
It was good for the movie.
It was terrible. That was one of the worst. How can you? I wouldn't put Live and Let Die in front of Goldfinger, but it just follows it. It's number five, Wings, Live and Let Die.
It's a good song.
Who hasn't done a cover of that? That's got a rock band. Goldfinger's number four. Oh, this one hurts me. Sheena Easton, For Your Eyes Only. Sheena Easton, For Your Eyes Only. That was a good movie.
Yeah.
But not that. Adele, Skyfall number two. The best one, I cannot argue. It's my favorite, okay. Carly Simon. Nobody does it better, The Spy Who Loved Me.
Okay, that's a good
That was a good song and a good movie. That was by far the best of the Roger Moore movies. The Unremarkable, Sam Smith.
Yeah, that one sucked.
Oh, that was the horrible movie that didn't make any sense, Spectre.
Spectre sucked.
It was five different movies in one, and none of them ever
culminated. Yeah, it was like the first. I didn't see that. It was the second only male singer. The song's not bad.
Writing's on the Wall is what the name of the song is.
Sam Smith, the pop country guy?
Yeah, the new guy.
Pop guy?
Yeah, the pop guy. It's the British guy. It's not bad. It's just not very Bond.
Madonna, Die Another Day. Tomorrow Never Dies. God, everybody's they're dying. Tomorrow Never Dies. That was the title track. Sheryl Crow did that one. I don't remember that one either. This one I would think would be yours.
Chris Cornell.
They got him down here at number five in The Unremarkable.
I don't even know that song.
It's from Casino Royale, You Know My Name.
You didn't know his name.
You don't know the song.
I didn't think Casino Royale's opening song was very memorable.
I thought Casino Royale, the movie, was good.
It was a great movie.
Yeah. And actually, of course, that's the way it all started.
With
the movie Casino Royale, which was the Peter Sellers movie, yeah. Which started the Pink Panthers thing.
Very few people know that.
And Billie Eilish, No Time to Die, the one that's out now, she did the soundtrack, released it a year ago to no movie, of course, and it died a miserable death. Billie Eilish needs some uppers. Somebody get her some amphetamines.
No, she's a sign of the times. She's a symbol of the current generation. She's very Gen Z.
Alicia Keys and Jack White, Another Way to Die, Quantum of Solace.
Alicia Keys and
Quantum
Jack
of Solace
White?
Is so,
yeah.
Quantum of Solace, it is such a mediocre movie. It's got one
terrible.
Of the best, I'm gonna pull a Jeff on you. It's got one of the best Bond girls with Olga Kurylenko.
Yeah.
But the music and the movie itself, eh.
And she dies.
She dies.
And
yeah.
she dies
she
in a really
die.
Good
Shocking.
Way.
Shocking.
She dies in a good way.
The girl
right, number,
dies.
Number two, Garbage, The World Is Not Enough, all the way back in 1999. That was the title track for The World Is Not Enough. And number one of the unremarkable ones, License to Kill.
I love License to Kill.
Gladys Knight.
How dare you?
Gladys Knight. She was a little bit out of her phase at that point. So that is the editorializing part of the show today. Thank you very much.
Bah.
Brought to you by Chattanooga Safety Products. It was on Highway 58 next to the Hungry House. All your industrial safety footwear and PPE needs. Safety begins at your feet at Chattanooga Safety Products. The duh moment of the day. The duh moment of the day. All right. This is a different sort of show. Like I said, I got a little show and tell going on coming up here in a second. Uh-huh. And I'm really cheating on some of these categories. Because as we were talking about the duh moment yesterday, Danger Man, you know, getting smashed between the swinging trucks and falling on his head.
I was thinking Danger Mouse.
It made me think, and I can't believe I didn't bring this up yesterday, but I didn't want to run out, you know, too long, but about my friend Tarzan and his infamous story. He's a tree guy. He climbs, he cuts, people hire him to take down trees in the right way so they don't fall on their house. Mm. He's very adept at doing this. He's essentially a lumberjack. And he rigged up at his friend's house one time this huge, big white oak tree. There was an old limb that they wanted to get rid of. It was over the house. And he got up on top of a ladder. He threw a rope over another limb that was a little bit more sturdy, got a good knot in it, tied it to himself, and then tied the other end to the chainsaw just in case he had to shift, you know, he wouldn't lose drop the saw.
No, but he might lose a leg. Good Lord.
What happened, of course, was what happens when any time you're up there and you're sawing on a limb and that limb starts to begin to break, it starts to torque and it starts to bend. And the tensile strength that is required to hold a limb the size of a tree out at a 90-degree angle
is incredible.
The energy that is contained in there is amazing. And it popped. It snapped. It shattered. It fell. And he was, I mean, by nature, by force, by the shockwave, and by his own reaction, he repulsed backwards from the, you know, snapping limb. And when he did, he pushed the chainsaw away from him.
Oh no!
God.
Yes!
At least he wasn't running.
If I'm lying, I'm dying. There were six people who saw this happen. And suddenly, we've got Steve Tarzan swinging back and forth this way. And we've got the chainsaw still running full blast.
Oh, it's running?
And he didn't have the cutoff switch on. He had his thumb hooked in it. He didn't have the cutoff switch on because of some sort of little nuance he was doing. And it was running, and it was swinging back and forth at him. And they passed each other no less than a half a dozen times. And, I mean, I want you to just picture him just with his arms and his legs. Just in big, wrong. No, now he's coming backwards. He can't really see. He's looking over his shoulder. Doug, wrong. And it took about 3 minutes for the inertia to slow down to finally somebody got up on top of the ladder and took a broom handle and just stuck it in the chainsaw stopped it and said, God
it's
almighty,
like that movie's, this is the worst episode of Squid Game ever.
I mean, he will say, and this guy has just about, he's met near death more times than me.
Whoa, that's an accomplishment.
And and he says that's number one with a bully. He said he still has nightmares. He will wake up in the middle of the night, just be having a pleasant dream, and go, because he sees the chainsaw coming at him. So there you go. Your dumb moment of the day.
It's like Saw.
Flashing back to yesterday. Thank you very much. Just for the heck of it. All right. What are you doing? An anonymous donor has chosen to invest in the Chattanooga Drive-In Show, but gave his advertising time over to local charity organizations, A Step Ahead, Chattanooga Girls Rock, Habitat for Humanity, and about time we started getting some of these folks in here and talking to them. The definition of Chattacentric, when somebody gives money for somebody else to succeed and doesn't want any credit for it, that is awfully nice.
Very nice.
Quite. Several good names for those types of people, philanthropists, just good old-fashioned good folks. All right, so here we go. What are you doing? I only have one.
I have one.
And it's extremely personal, so yeah, you go ahead.
We should have been talking about this, but we have neglected to do so. Today is day three of Chattanooga Startup Week.
Oh,
which is
so glad you brought that up.
That's great.
I'm so glad you brought
that
up.
If you're an entrepreneur, an innovator, this is an event for you. This is day three. There are two more days.
We're a startup.
After today, we are a startup. And it's a free event. So, you know, go down. It's at Miller Plaza. Is that where they do Nightfall?
Yeah,
that's where it is. Actually, it's all around town.
Well, it was Miller Plaza. Now,
now
it's Miller Park.
Isn't
again.
It the Tennessee First
The
Horizon?
Pavilion.
Yeah.
Oh, the Pavilion.
Same place, though, right?
No, the Pavilion's across from the stadium.
Yeah, no, most of the events are at Miller Plaza.
I think it's at Miller Plaza.
Okay. And the Innovation District, the Innovation Building.
That's right.
A lot of those places. Over on right across from Patton Towers.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So, free event, lots of free workshops and lectures.
Yeah. Numerous people have actually said we already should have talked about that, so thank you for doing that.
We should have, yes. And congratulations to Little Mamas, which if you haven't been there yet, go. It's delicious sandwiches. And Be Caffeinated, which is in my neck of the woods over on the North Shore.
I wish
being nominated for Startup of the Year. There's another one I'm sure I'm missing, and I apologize.
That's the one that we were talking about. That was the little Photoshop, the little place you used to pull in the photo bug, and you drop
it
off your film.
It used to be, well, probably.
And then go back
it used
a week
to be
later
a Central Park.
Yeah,
a Central too. Park, really?
Yeah,
I loved Central
it's
Park.
Teeny weeny.
Yeah, we used to have these little kiosks out in the middle parking lots, and photo bugs, photo doves, photo lugs, and whatever they were, and you'd just drop by, and you'd get a little envelope, and you'd stick your film in there that you shot, and you'd put on the name, address, and send it off, and a week later, sometimes they call you, sometimes you just go by, are my pictures in? Yeah, sure. And then you look, and you got, none of these came out.
No, they're
these
all white.
Suck.
They're all overexposed.
It's nothing but thumbs.
That's happened to me more times than
yeah,
I like
and
to
paid
admit.
Full price for it, too, let me tell you.
There's a, let me tell you something. This is a call out to the listeners. If you know of a local photo studio that I can regularly and reliably take my undeveloped film to, let me know. Because right now I'm using thedarkroom.com to mail them out, and it's kind of expensive.
I'm pretty sure you can do it at
Walgreens.
No, local.
No, here's what I want you to do.
But Walgreens doesn't do it in-house almost at all anymore. They're sending it off, too. It's going to cost you $35.
I'm
going
to give
like
you the starting place to give you the best advice, all right?
Okay.
Now, he doesn't do it as much anymore, but Chris Autrid at North Light Imaging. Chris Autrid at North Light Imaging. He is in the back of the Saddlery building, back where our friend Virginia had her massage.
She's not
place
there anymore
for quite
yes.
some time. Yeah, she's back over there next to the McMahon Law Firm now, over there on Stringer's Ridge.
That's a great location.
And Chris is a great guy, and he does great work, and he will tell you exactly where to go, what to do. And there is a place on East Main not far from Yellow Racket Records. That I actually took some stuff. Remember that? That I had that roll of film that had been kept in my tackle box and my backpack and my glove compartment and my back pocket for like 5 years.
Yeah.
It had been exposed to extreme height and cold, and I finally got the pictures developed, and it was deep inside a cave. And whatever had happened to the film during all that time really enhanced the look of the spookiness of being in the interior of that cave. So anyway, I can't remember the name of the place right now, but that's where he'll send you.
I've got a roll of, speaking of that real quick, I've got a roll of undeveloped film that came in an old Brownie camera that I bought that I still haven't developed.
All undeveloped film makes me somewhat nervous.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to get arrested.
I don't want, you know, taking it to Wolf or Fox back in the day. I'm like going, now just set it aside. Just set it aside. Yeah. I'll pay you extra if you don't say anything, you know. All right, so what are you doing? Do you have anything on the community calendar here?
I wish I did. No, I've not been paying attention because I'm going to be out of town. I'm sorry.
Well, I understand that. Well, here you go. I'm going to Bowdoin this weekend to my hometown, and it's gotten to the point where I want to get down there a couple of times a year. And the reason I'm going is because the mighty, mighty Bowdoin Red Devils at 6-0 undefeated are playing a team that – shouldn't be 6-0, and we wouldn't normally think of them as regional competition, but Mount Zion, and this is a big game, and my two oldest cousins, my only cousin on the paternal style side of the family, Michael Striplin, who went on to play for the University of Georgia and was a standout player there, and my oldest cousin, Craig Roop, who still to this day holds the honor of having the single greatest high school football play ever in the state of Georgia, according to their Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And Michael was a tight end and a kicker, and he held the and they're both being inducted into the Hall of Fame. We actually have a Hall of Fame and a little walkway out there in front of our stadium, and have plaques with names on it. My dad was in the initial class. He was in the startup class when they first started, and he should have been. He was a legendary jock. But Michael, he held the punt record at Georgia for years. And Craig was about your size, maybe not quite as big as you, but was remarkably fast, extremely smart, and tough as nails. He played safety. He played safety. And this was the championship game in 1971, Bowdoin versus Southeast Bullock. It was down in Southeast Bullock, almost on the Florida line. There was 1 second left. The Southeast Bullet team had scored. They were going for two. If they had just kicked, they would have gone into overtime. But they had this huge, big running back that had just been going up and down the field all day long. How hard can this be? Handing the ball. He goes in. They win the game. Craig at safety lines up directly across from him. The ball is snapped, and they take off at full speed and do helmet-to-helmet contact. Ooh. Both of them reared backwards and were completely knocked out. The ball fell out of the guy's hands. He did not score.
Wow.
And they were out for minutes. They were out for minutes. They had doctors on the field, and everybody was really concerned. That was back before everybody was freaked out about concussions. But Craig, little Craig, hit that guy so hard, knocked him backwards, ball falls out, Bowden wins the state championship.
That's amazing.
And the writers, the sports writers in Georgia still say that was the number one play in high school Georgia football history. And I was in the end zone watching it. It was like, yes.
That's awesome.
That's a man. So I've got to be down there. My dad will be watching from on high, and he would be so disappointed if I wasn't there for that.
Congratulations.
Go Devils. Pimp's Corner. Yays, hoorays, and boos to use. All from Pimp Jen Lambert, who I'm not even sure how many titles she's got now. She does everything.
Radio mom.
Including half the stuff that she did.
The doing everything thing has to stop. I need to hire somebody.
Yeah.
So if you want to help, get in touch with me.
You need Indeed.
ChattanoogaDriveAndShow@gmail.com.
She also has the honor of being my radio mom.
That's right.
And my former swim instructor.
Swim teacher. Yep. Right. I was going to mention this yesterday, and we didn't get to it. Kim White, former mayoral candidate, she's been appointed the University of Tennessee in Chattanooga's Vice Chancellor for Development and Alumni Affairs.
Congratulations.
As well as the Executive Director of the UTC Foundation. And she's going to start with a salary of $250,000.
Pretty good.
That's good.
That's a competitive salary for that kind of position.
That's almost as much as we make.
Almost.
That's more than what she would have made as mayor.
I was about to say it'd be nice to lose the mayoral race and then get a 100% raise to go work for the school and not have to worry about all the problems that a mayor has to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean,
so opulence is great, isn't it?
She's going to have problems to deal with. Don't get it confused. Right. I mean, academic
can't run in a city.
Academic politics, the politics of a university, are horrific.
Oh yeah, no, I know that.
They're horrific. I mean, and just the stakes are small, but the passions are high, and people take it very, very seriously.
Right.
They take each other very seriously, way too often.
Well, I think they couldn't have found a better person for that role.
Congratulations, Kim.
So congrats, Kim.
Never had any problem with Kim during that race. Just wasn't my favorite of the two candidates.
That's really the only local yay I have. The rest are kind of light. History of the World Part 1 is one of my favorite all-time movies.
Mel Brooks.
You, Mel Brooks.
Yep.
He's 95 years old.
No.
He is about to start writing a sequel to that movie, History of the World Part 2, which will air as a multi-part series on Hulu coming up.
Cool.
That amazes me that of all
95.
The Mel Brooks movies, though, that
that's the one
you go with. Instead of Young Frankenstein or Blazing Saddles, you know, you go with that one. That's just whatever.
We don't have Gene Wilder anymore. So. Yeah,
there were some very good lines in that one.
That was one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
Most of which you couldn't actually say again.
Right.
You know, they weren't just nasty. They were just raunchy.
Yeah,
sure.
They were just this.
Everything
just
he did was
raunchy. Yeah.
Well, you can't play any of the good scenes from Blazing Saddles on air anymore.
No, I've told this story, not, and I'll tell it in 2 seconds here. I went and got it to show my sons on VHS.
How old were they? They
were not old enough.
Oh no!
And I thought they were mature enough, and they had heard about it, and so I went and got a VHS copy and sat down proudly, started it, and within the first minute, I was going, "Oh my God!" I had completely forgot, and my wife from the other room was going, "What in the hell are you watching in there,
Dad? What's the N word?"
Over and over and over again, and they were looking at me like they weren't old enough to understand that it was being used to make fun of people who used it.
Right.
They just heard it being used.
Right.
So we stopped that. It was years later before they saw that one.
If you are in my generation and you grew up watching Elizabeth Hurley on the screen, do yourself a favor and Google her son, Damien.
Do not say what I said.
Oh, my gosh. Just do it. That's all I have to say. He's absolutely beautiful.
Oh.
And this is big news. Kanye.
Run.
Kanye.
You know how we've always said maybe we might actually be bi. We just haven't met the right guy yet.
Yeah.
You don't need to look at this guy's picture.
I mean, I do say I'm the gayest straight man you'll ever meet.
Yeah. Wait till you see it. I'll show it to you.
I'm a deeply closeted gay man.
So Kanye is now, he's officially changed his name. Fully. He is no longer, he's lost he's dropped the last name, dropped the middle name. He is going by Ye.
Yay.
Yay. Yay's hoorays and boos for yous. Boos.
That's why it's in here.
That worked out for
you. And the reason he did it is because he says that
he's an idiot.
Yay, which actually would be ye, is the most commonly used word in the Bible.
Oh, God.
I don't think he gets that.
In the King James, I guess.
Different. Yeah, King James, exactly.
How much you want to bet the and smoke ye?
So yay for yay.
I would have gone with begat.
Okay.
MC begat.
MC begat.
DJ begat.
DJ Zebediah.
Exactly.
You already said the fine for football.
And then have the entire begats part of the band. And the chorus, all the begats.
Should change his name.
There's 17 pages of begats.
It should change his rapper name to like the entirety of the lineage of David.
We'd be gotten tired of this choir by this point.
Begat Zebulun, begat Obadiah, begat.
Pam's Corner made possible.
Wait, I have one more.
You have one more.
Okay, there's a kid.
Still made possible.
A 4-year-old kid in Kentucky was walking with his parents.
Okay.
On a trail, they were hiking.
He was walking his parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. He fell off of the ledge, off of the cliff, hitting several ledges on the way down, 70 feet down.
Okay. Walking well.
He's 4. Okay. His parents should have been more responsible. But anyway, he fell 70 feet, hitting the different ledges, and was unhurt, unscathed. A couple bruises. That's it.
That's disappointing.
That's negligence.
Disappointing.
Negligence on the parents' part for not teaching their kid to walk better.
That's just not a very good story to end on. I can't believe. Made possible
Something
by the
happened.
Kindness, concern, and community commitment of the local and regional professionals at Guardian Investment Advisors. They have more empathy than I do. Gary Thurman handles all the money my wife and I have invested. I trust him completely. 710-9199. Thank you. Gary and Tide, they have their own podcast that they do. The What Podcast, going strong. Dayfire Podcast, during the break, People of Chattanooga Stone on air.
911 What? Chattanooga
and
Civics.
Yep. Just
the FM Podcast.
All of the podcastinators, the podcastination nation, give them as much support as you possibly can. Russell, what about Russell? He's going to flex. I have no idea what he's flexing on today. None whatsoever.
Wow. Should I start now or are you going to do your...
Can we do this first? Brought to you by RC2 Realty Solutions. Add the .com to that. You got all you need to deal with that distressed property you've been saddled with. Robin Ring, Robin with a Y, will help you sell, renovate. Maybe you actually want to buy or invest. It's amazing what they can do to a home. It truly is. She has a knack for it. Talk to Robin at rc2realtysolutions.com. And everybody knows what the housing market's like right now.
Oof.
So, I mean, it's a good time to be buying and selling, I guess. If you're buying, you just need to make sure you have a whole lot of cash. Because there's somebody out there who does, who wants the same house. All right.
Yeah, and that person might be from China if you live in British Columbia. They've got a whole big housing crisis there. That's for another muscle flex. So mine is very brief, a mere paragraph. It's been revealed that China secretly tested a hypersonic nuclear-capable missile in August. Happened in August. The missile purportedly circled the globe in low orbit before it then hit the Earth. It's reported that the missile actually missed its target by about 12 miles, but with a nuclear weapon, precision is not exactly what you're going for.
Yeah, 12 miles isn't much.
Yeah. Speaking to Financial Times, Drew Thompson, former American Defense Department official with responsibility for China, said the test really should change U.S. calculations. At a press conference on Tuesday, U.S. Press Secretary Jen Psaki said that the U.S. welcomes the competition. And that's it.
Now, this is different than the subsonic missiles we were talking about just a couple of weeks ago?
No, these are the hypersonic missiles that... Okay. It's the same thing the North Koreans purportedly have as well. I wrote a whole long thing about North Korea. I can see you looking at my screen.
Yeah,
I wrote a whole long thing about that, and then I saw this other thing from China, which seemed more prescient. But if you want to quickly mention that, sure. North Korea also launched a ballistic missile test from a submarine platform, which caused the Japanese prime minister to go off of the campaign trail and return to Tokyo to their equivalent of the Situation Room.
That's a very tense situation.
Extremely.
I think that this podcast is also launched from that platform as well. As a
we're also on submarines.
Yeah, we're on submarines.
We can strike you from within the coast.
There's an old saying amongst us storytellers, oh, Papa F.A. here, with mountains looking at each other. Gather around, chillins.
Chillins.
Gather around, youngins. Sit down, grab your corn cob pipe. And
all the kids with their corn cob pipe.
Jug of that moonshine and get ready.
Well, hold there. Sit down.
You'll enjoy it much more until you just pass out and then you won't remember. You won't know who to blame. Mountains looking at each other. Storytelling time. And this one, again, is going to kind of just go off just on a little personal tear. Been here for a long time. When the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. Y'all have heard that before.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was Confucius that said it, or Abraham Lincoln that said it, or usually it's Thomas Jefferson that said it, but if it was Confucius, that's fine. When the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. Well, guess what? The teacher is in. The teacher is in, because the local media outlets have absolutely reached a nadir, a absolute just bottoming out. How many stories are we going to see? I am so glad that the cop dog is okay.
Yeah, aww, me too.
But do we have to get daily updates on whether or not it can chew hard food?
The
really?
Thing has to be on
come
a
on.
Feeding tube for the next 6 weeks.
I'm
That's
sorry.
Terrible.
Okay, I'm sorry. There are things going on. I watched 5 cutaways of a bubbling hole in the ground, Pineville Road. It was just a sinkhole with a water main leak. And it was just literally, we're standing
in the
dark and the water's coming up kind of like an artesian well, and it's flowing, strangely enough, down the hill.
I'm going to make my cameraman walk close to it. You can see there's water from the ground.
Now, TDOT tells us that this road has as many as 25 cars a day go down it. So this could be a major problem. 5 stories.
If you're driving your kiddos to soccer practice, this may be a problem.
We've had so many good sources of news and so many really good reporters. I mean, the Times Free Press is the paper's too good for this town sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think people understand what a good paper it is, and we're all kind of just wringing our hands saying, "Well, what's going to happen as it goes digital?" Chattanoogan is out there. Nobody thought, just like people don't think this idea was going to work, when Chattanoogan.com started, I guarantee you nobody thought it was going to work.
Easily
nobody even owned personal computers, hardly. They were way ahead of their time.
Yeah. Great idea, though.
Other podcast folks out there, love them to death, but they're kind of following the pattern that the local media folks set of playing it too safe, wanting to be everybody's friend and not upset people. You can't rattle the cages. You can't make advancement. You can't move forward without rattling some cages. You got to break some eggs to make an omelet. And we're not seeing any egg breaking going on around here. Radio and TV has just become massively irrelevant. We have the celebrity anchors. We hear all the stories about all of their procedures. Put a camera up their butt. Here we go. You know, somebody has a baby, got to look at the baby. Somebody loses a baby, got to hear about losing the baby. Somebody's making a baby. We don't get that.
Here's actual footage of my colonoscopy.
I mean, you know,
oh,
I'm
no,
right.
They do that. They do that.
You know, I'm
Why?
Right. I'm right on this.
Ah,
it's a teaching moment.
When was the last? And I hate this celebrity anchor celebrity thing where they become the story.
Yeah,
and it's happened more and more and more and more. Yeah, this is not, you're not practicing gonzo journalism. If you were, I could put up with you because you'd be saying something worthwhile.
Yeah, you'd be interesting.
But I mean, I don't care if a reporter goes and does Dancing with the Stars in Collegedale.
Ugh.
I mean, that's just not important to me.
Is that a real story?
Yeah.
And when was the last time you saw somebody on TV get real? I mean, get real. I mean, just look at the camera and just get angry, get upset, say, you know what? I think I've just about had it with this. Get somebody on the phone. Do you remember when Harry Reasoner, when Ronald Reagan was shot and Harry Reasoner was out there by himself in front of a hot camera trying to, and people were handing him stories and stories and they were conflicting each other. And finally, he just threw him in there and he grabbed this guy by the shirt sleeve and he goes, find out what the hell is going on. There's a man you could trust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to be standing here like this, and our ties have to be perfect, and we'll get back with you with more false information in just a second. And radio, Brian, is there anybody doing a live radio show anymore at any station actually going on and speaking into a microphone and it going into people's ears, playing a song that they might want to hear out there that they haven't heard?
Oh, you mean
already
in
the
music,
day.
In music radio?
Yeah, in music radio.
That has any creative control whatsoever?
Doing a live DJ, good old-fashioned radio show.
No, not with any creative control. No, there's a few people that are on the air that break in the middle of some music and say a few words off of a liner sheet, yes, but there's not a creatively controlled radio show in this town from a music standpoint, and there's only a couple talk, and those
I have something to share with you. Like I said, I brought it in for show and tell, but think here, look at all the publications. Creative Loafing,
we speak as fellow clowns.
Creative Loafing was huge in Atlanta for a long time. It was the alternative paper of all alternative papers in the Southeast, and we had a loafer here. Then we had a Brevis. Then we had an Enigma. Then we had a Metro Pulse. Then we had a Chattanooga Facts. And then we had just a regular Pulse. And I'm sure y'all can think of others as well that have come out.
They all have one thing in common.
They're all gone. Chattanooga Life and Leisure was a great magazine.
At least, really was. At least we still have Mint.
I found this
the
when
mint
I was
is here.
Throwing away all of these magazines that were stacked up inside of our library. The upstairs library
and, next to the lotion,
and I found this mailing list. This is what I used when I was left the radio and I'd gone into advertising. So this was my media contact list, and check it out.
It's yellow paper, hand typed,
you know, scribbled all over the place. And let's see here, who all is left? Cleveland Daily Banner, the Dalton Daily, Citizens News. I'll tell you if you see any of these. Look, WQMT, Clay Acup.
Oh, wow.
There's our boy, Clay, who is a regular listener down in Orlando, and he was the news director at WQMT down in Dalton. Tom Rowland, the mayor, WCLE up there. Light Mix, 105. Do you remember when Light Mix came on? Were you old enough?
Oh, my dad had it on all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Parker was there.
Dale Deason signed it on. And Jamie Hancock was the news director. And Jamie was a straight razor-toting woman, didn't put up with nothing.
That's 105.5. That's what Rock 105 is now. That's the old frequency.
She and Michelle Kaufman got into it. Oh, my gosh. That was a girl fight that lasted like for 5 minutes. And she rode her like a horse. She did. Michelle mouthed off and Jamie just had all she could stand. She grabbed her a head full of hair and it was pounding and pounding.
Damn.
And the poor DJ in charge didn't know what to do. Called the boss. The boss had time to drive down there, coming in. They were still laying in the floor in there. Oh my gosh. All right. WJTT still around. Wayne Collins. WSGC, what is that now? Anybody know?
No idea.
No idea. All right, let's see here. You remember Ray Skates, Big Ray Skates at Fox, WFXS. All right, let's see here. WRCB, who was in charge? Jed Mescon and Cindy Sexton, news editor.
Mm-hmm. Not much has changed.
Not there. Not WDEF. Christy Murphy, great, wonderful anchor reporter, got run out of town because she was the one that first one that ran afoul of the ethics clause.
How's
she,
that?
Her behavior in a bar one night, not doing anything that was exceptionally out of the ordinary for any young, vibrant, single person to be doing in a bar, got her fired. And
wow.
Now all the TV people, you wonder why they're boring? Because mm-hmm. they have to sign sheets that say they promise to be boring.
Oh, they're mm-hmm. incredibly boring people.
And, of course, Luther was listed on there. WTVC, this is when Mary Ellen Loker was
yeah.
over there, and Marcia Kling.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. Chattanooga News Free Press, John Vass, still there. Kathy Porterfield used to be the news director over at GOWSKZ, KZ 106. Ed Bice, remember Ed Bice at US 101. And then you even got WTCI, you had Kelly Wilde over there. Some of these other things. So many of these people, these were good journalists, and they were out there in the streets every day. They were competing with each other as best they could to get the story, and then they would share information because it was better for everybody. And they just don't do that anymore.
They should.
They just don't do that anymore. Mountains looking at each other. That's the story, is that the teacher has arrived, us, because the student is damn well ready. He's flunking.
Well, I feel quite an honor from you saying that, Jeff. Thank you.
So there you have it. There's a new podcast all about being better versions of ourselves, just like we're talking about here, sharing stories and lessons from our successes and failures. Join Bruce Dodd as he walks us through learning to be intentional with our money, time, thoughts, and relationships. TheIntentionalLivingProject.com. Regional roundup,
Jeff. You keep coughing right on me.
I mean, it's a productive cough too.
Yes, it is. I can feel it.
It's not. I know. I'm splattering. I'm
yes.
sorry. I tell you, all the news that splatters. It's slobbering time. There's our catchphrase. Regional roundup. Judge limits unpaid leave for unvaccinated at lab. This is in Nashville. Federal judge has limited the ability for now for the nonprofit running Oak Ridge National Laboratory to place employees on unpaid leave who receive exemptions to a COVID-19 vaccine requirement. Mm. A bunch of them said, no, my religion doesn't allow it. And they said, well, we really need you here. We are kind of an important person in an important place. Well, I don't want to get it. So they're putting them on unpaid leave. And the federal judge said, that'll work. At least 90 days. If that's what they really want, that's what they can get. All right, down in Georgia, the official holiday of deer season has begun.
It's
actually come and gone. Yes, Saturday started off the firearms deer hunting season.
Bang!
And 2020 deer season had one of the highest ratings for hunter satisfaction on record. They expect 2021 to be no different. Last year, 187,000 people went hunting for deer in Georgia, bagged more than 190,000 deer.
And we still have a population problem.
Still killing deers with cars, and deers are killing people in cars.
I was going to say, I hunt deer with my car. Actually, they hunt me.
Go ahead.
I have a much more local, like in-town local.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's an owl issue over on the
Ooh.
North Shore and
Ooh.
Also in Red Bank.
Ooh.
I see them where
Ooh.
I live because my house backs up to woods.
Mm.
But Ooh. Evidently, one of my neighbors saw an adult cat get picked up by an owl.
Oh,
and
no!
Cat's food.
And they took it away.
Wow, that's crazy.
Owl eat a cat in a heartbeat. A great horned owl?
Yeah.
A cat yep. doesn't have a chance.
You can't
well,
kill it either.
Happened.
It's bad luck.
Great horned owls are
watch
bad,
it if you have puppies too.
Birds.
Even if you're out on a walk and they're on a leash,
yeah.
watch them because they're swooping in.
You feel the tug.
You don't hear them. You don't hear them. They got those. Their feathers are tufted in such a way they don't even make a swooping sound.
Mm-hmm.
They can fly backwards with their talons out.
That's horrible.
And I mean, they could crush your wrist with the strength of their talent.
Yeah.
They're
evidently weight doesn't matter.
Barn owls, great horned owls. The ones that make all the racket, the little barred owls.
Yeah.
Everybody gets them wrong. They're the teeny tiny ones. The little screech owls and the barred owls are the ones that make all the noise. Just a couple of things here. This is from the USA Today around the region. Alabama Montgomery, divided state school board has cemented rules that ban so-called critical race theory teachings from K through 12 and limit how educators can talk about race in the classroom. That's just a great big whopping step backwards, and it's just politically driven BS and drivel. If you think otherwise, feel free to contact Jen and give me your stupid opinion. I'll read it, and I'll let one of them read it, because I mean, this is ridiculous. This is nobody's even teaching it.
And I say it's not even being taught.
It's not even being taught.
It's electives in college.
Yeah.
Atlanta, Georgia, one of the world's largest elevator towers, will soon be open to test elevators of the future.
Oh.
High above the suburbs, hey. TK Elevators' 420-foot tower is set to become fully operational early next year.
All right, I love that.
And since we already dealt with the Oak Ridge story in Nashville, let me jump to North Carolina. Elizabeth City, a judge changed her voter registration from Democrat to Republican the day after she was sworn into the job for which Democratic Governor Roy Cooper appointed her. That should not be allowed. It should not be allowed. She should be forced to go out and start over again and come up under a Republican administration. Anybody who runs in one party and then immediately switches has cheated 50% of the people in their district.
Wait a minute. Did she run or was she appointed?
She was appointed.
Okay.
But by a Democratic governor who then the next day she switches political sides. There ought to be a get back for that.
Yeah. I wonder if he knew.
Announce that you're going to change in 2 years.
Yeah.
And say, hang on with me. I'm still going to vote the way I feel like I need to vote, but this is coming just so you guys will know. And if somebody switches halfway through a term, I think they need to quit and be forced to run again in a special election.
Well, it's unfair to the people.
They just took their money.
Yeah, it's unfair to the people who may have chosen to vote for her based on her position or her party. Sorry.
Shotgun shout-outs brought to you by the Sports Barn with its three locations in our town. Been getting and keeping people in shape, healthier, happier since 1979. And again, this weather just makes you want to get out and about.
Mm-hmm.
Go do a little weight training. Do some circuit stuff down there. Get out, run around town. Personal training, always an option. Then get you in excellent shape. Comfortable, non-threatening atmosphere. The Sports Barn, just a great, great place.
I went to Planet Fitness, and it was very threatening. They had people there with clubs and whips.
Well, you know, I mean, if you go into a workout place and everybody there is already in shape.
I know, that's the worst.
And you're not, and they kind of give you that look. You're wearing sweats, and they're wearing the unitards and the butt floss and stuff. That never happened.
Hey guys, we're the smoking section.
And you remember me talking yesterday about the Chuck Fleischman story about the $600 transactions with the bank.
Yeah, that sucks.
Boy, Michael Lofton is not a fan. And Michael Lofton, you might recognize, somebody who used to be with the paper. It's interesting when a politician releases a statement intended to prove his concern for voters while ignoring a development likely to render his alarm pointless. Speaking of Representative Chuck Fleischman, in Thursday's Times Free Press from last week, Fleischman announced he opposes a White House proposal requiring financial organizations to report deposits or withdrawals of $600 or more. Not you, not me, the bank. Mm-hmm. It's an attempt to make it easier to block vast amounts of money from being deposited in accounts outside the United States, thus reducing the depositors' taxes. That figure is likely to increase since it's roughly a third of most families' monthly mortgage payment. But the proposal reflects the alarm by many members of Congress that tax avoidance is a significant factor driving up the national debt. 6-paragraph article in the New York Times business section worth noting. It said that IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig testified to the Senate Finance Committee, said the nation is losing. Yesterday I had it at, what was it, $246 billion a year?
It was a large number, yeah.
A trillion a year. We're losing $1 trillion a year in unpaid taxes, mainly because the agency lacks the resources to catch the cheaters. And so if Fleischman is so concerned about these hardworking Americans, why not work to reduce the tax gap? Thank you very much. Little roundups and shotgun shoutouts. Top of the Pops. Y'all, again, I'm going to look to y'all to see if you have anything in particular, because the only thing I have is just a little personal anecdote. Top of the Pops is our top of the mind awareness as we draw to a close.
Well, hopefully
the podcast does.
When I return on, for the listener, Tuesday, I'll have some good stories for you, but as it is now, I'm a little bit empty-handed.
Well, if you don't have one, I'll tell you exactly what mine is.
My Top of the Pops is just our Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah, man.
There you go.
If you have not been generous and donated just a little bit, $20 here and there, that
I
every
did.
Penny counts. Yes,
even
you did.
There's a video.
Yeah.
There's a video record of me digging in my pocket and giving a 20 to the Kickstarter campaign.
It's a very funny video posted to our Facebook page.
I suggest y'all do the same thing. Write
yes.
little messages on the 20.
You
know,
there you go.
Hey, Jefe, what's up there, pimp? And just, you know, and make a little video of yourself. We'll put it on Instagram.
There you go. And Facebook,
make
too.
You famous, yeah.
Yeah. So the link is posted to our Facebook page. Go there. Look for Kickstarter. And we appreciate it.
All right. Then I'll go ahead and get the plugs in for, you know, our Instagram accounts, our Venmo payment plan, Patreon. We're working on getting the behind the scenes stuff set up.
We
you'll
are.
Be able to see a lot more of the
our website's almost ready.
Sausage being made, as it were, and you'll get stuff. You're going to be getting stuff. One of the things I said earlier is I said I went through all those old clothes and magazines, and I have t-shirts and sweatshirts and every kind of collared semi, you know, Izodi preppy
giving
work shirt.
Your old clothes?
All my logoed clothes from the old radio stations. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Those
all the old Fred, all the old Fredhead shirts.
Yeah.
Oh,
all
cool.
the old
I might want one of those.
I have enough. I could be like the artist Christo, and I could surround the entire Walnut Street Bridge and nothing but Fredhead shirts. You know, it'd be an art installation. Maybe I should do that and make a couple of million dollars. But I'm washing them now. They're in the washing machine or the dryer. I'm going to fold them up. I'm going to bring them down here. And if you throw 20 at a Kickstarter and you write on the dollar there, the $20 bill, or if you do a little video said, I want one of those shirts, we will set up a time for you to come by and get it.
Stains included.
My gosh. Yeah, I mean, they've all been worn to death.
Except
some of them are just
that
threads.
Kickstarter is digital. If
right.
you do want to donate to
so
it,
you should
and you
go
want
online.
To physically hand me a 20,
but you can
I can
create,
do that too, and then yeah. I will post the digital.
You can create
donation.
A $20 tier, though.
If you give us any kind of financial windfall of any sort, and you want one of these old shirts that date all the way back to 1992, you know, for various incarnations wow. and various characters and catchphrases and things like that, have at it. This is all I've got. I'm just going to tell you something. I probably shouldn't be talking about this, but most everybody who knows me knows this. When I was hurt first of all, I was hurt three times. A bad car wreck, terrible, terrible concussion. I was out for days. Then I shattered my leg, and that sucked. Almost died from MRSA. Four surgeries laid me up forever. Then the incident where I got shot. I missed a lot of work. And I still have a lot of pervasive chronic problems. I try not to bitch too much about them, but I have a bad problem with sciatica. My right leg, which is all titanium, goes numb. My right arm where I got shot, it's got issues. I have been advised again and again and again and again by doctors, psychiatrists, medical doctors, everybody saying, you really should be on disability. And I said, but I mean, I don't want to do nothing. But to be frank, this is about as much as I can do. I can't work an 8-10 hour day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't leave here and go do manual labor. I can't do it anymore. And so a little over a year ago, I actually did swallow my pride. Gary Thurman was one of those that actually really advised me to do it. Said,
Gary's great.
It's going to take a while. I went down and talked to Jay McMahon. to Jake Kennemer at McMahon Law Firm. I said, can you help me do this? And they said, yeah, and you have an open and shut case. You definitely deserve disability, even though you can plainly do some things. You can still sit down and talk into a mic, but that's not a full-time living.
No. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then COVID came around. So I applied. So this is all it gets down to. I've gone through all of these hoops of fire, answered all of these questionnaires. I've talked to so many people. I've gone to so many doctors, my doctors, their doctors, everybody's doctors. And I had a conversation with a really pleasant guy, and I made an offhand comment. We were just talking, and he says, so you're currently unemployed. And it was before we started doing this. And I don't even know if we can consider this employment right now.
Yeah,
but I said, no, I'm currently unemployed as unemployed can be. I'm spending my savings. And I said, you know, I mean, he says, so you had two jobs? I said, man, anybody in the media, no matter where they are, they don't make enough money. Everybody in the media has got 8, 10, mm-hmm. 12 jobs. I said it just like that, assuming he would hear the joke.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Here this thing arrives, a huge, huge envelope, and it has return envelopes, 8 of them for 8 jobs that I don't have. I have to explain all 8 to 10 to 12 of the non-existent jobs that I don't have. Look at this. Look at this. Every one of them. And so I called him up and I said, dude, and I got him. And he remembered me. I said, I didn't have 8 jobs. He said, you said you did. I said, I was joking.
I lied.
He goes, we don't joke at Social Security disability. Do you joke with the IRS? I said, no, sir. He said, we treat us like the IRS. Throw it all away. I said, are you telling me to throw it away? He said, yeah, throw it away. So I called down there and I asked them, what should I do? They said, throw it away. There. 8 to 10 jobs. Goodness gracious.
That's a $5,000 camera. Almighty.
Brought to you by People's Home Equity. Is the part where we stall for time to see if we forgot anything. People's Home Equity. Don't start your search for a new home until you are pre-approved. That move saves you time, money, stress, and worry. Also, if you want a guide to the jungles of today's markets. That's what it sounds like there. And that's all covered with Bruce Dodd and Trevor Glass. Their number 591-9801 chatmortgage.com. That's 2 T's. Thank you very much. And essentially this. Around the globe, people pick contentment over thrills, saying they'd rather lead, and this is a Well-Being for Planet Earth Foundation Gallup study. 72% say they would prefer a calm life. 16% say they would like an exciting life. 10% are going for both. And then you have the other who wish they were dead, apparently.
Oh, I would be the 10%.
I was a little surprised that more people wouldn't want an exciting life. I would like to sit there down and talk with them.
Yeah.
Do you understand what you're asking for?
It depends on what exciting life
I was going to say, yeah. Exciting covers a lot of ground and can wear you out.
I think, Jeff, you can agree, I've had some excitement in my life.
Yes, you have.
A couple times. You've been witness to some of it.
Yes, I have. Excitement follows me everywhere I go.
Yeah.
It chases me.
I've learned that being around you. So
it chases me down.
I can say, while I can handle it physically and mentally, yeah, I'd like an exciting life. But when I get to be, I don't know, like Jeff's age, I'd like to have a calm life.
I am just desperate for more calm right now, to
well,
be honest
you. Keep going and doing
you.
Things that are exciting.
Yeah, I've been transitioning into calm the last couple of years.
Well, everyone
living like you're 22 till you're 42 is getting old.
Yeah.
Russell did actually take a little snippet of video of me back on the board the other day, and boy, oh boy, could you tell it was the first time I'd been back on the board.
You were shaking.
I took off at a much faster rate of speed, went further down the hill, and didn't remember it being quite as loosey-goosey as it was. I'm sure it hadn't changed at all. But I felt very, very wobbly, and I go, man, I can't believe I did this. I'm gonna wreck and skin myself up, but I didn't. But you can tell in the camera,
yeah.
My hand is shaking, and literally the camera just begins to lower. It just it's literally it's tightened up, you know, to be focused on something. But I'm literally shaking it so hard in the road rash, you know, that I'm about to get is beating the wheels, and it just starts pointing toward the ground.
You know,
to finally,
though,
all you see is my toes,
you know,
on the board.
It looks like in the video, if you didn't know that story, it looks like you did it on purpose.
I did not do it on purpose.
And I tried to be.
It doesn't look bad.
I tried to be artistic in my editing. I'm like, it sets it up with, you know, here he is driving to the location.
Yeah,
here he is.
You did. It was too long.
Yeah, but dadgum, freaking Patreon.
Instagram
or Patreon or whatever is like,
Patreon.
Nope.
Well, and
Jeff will figure it out.
I'll figure it out.
That's it. We do not have an outside looking in today, and we do not have a deep dive today. So thank you very much for making the morning drive-in show part of your day. Broadcasting live from the Lodge Cast Iron Studio, it's Jeff and Russell and Jen and Brian and all of you folks out there, please spread the word. Please spread the word. I mean, it's just real simple. If you like it, tell your friends you like it. Tell them to tune in. It's not a hard sell. Either they get it or they don't. It may grow on some people, but I have a feeling if this is the kind of thing you like, you'll like this kind of thing. And we'll keep you.
You get that kind of stuff every day.
Yeah, we just give it away. Every yogi has his boo-boo. You can write that one down, too.
Oh, jeez.